I wanted to speak today about the concept and mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. On the one hand, you know, it's hard to overstate the importance of such a lofty topic and idea and mitzvah. On the other hand, it's, as we shall see, and as you can easily intuit, it's one of the harder things to wrap our arms around. What exactly does it mean? How do we define, how do we categorize, how do we explain what it means to love Hashem? It's a very, very hard thing. We think of love as one of the more intense emotions that anyone would have, right? You know, at this stage of your life, hopefully, if you're blessed with a good family, you love your parents, maybe even love your siblings, maybe that can come with time to love your siblings. But hopefully, please God, one day you'll be zocha to find a special person to spend your life with. Those are very strong, powerful emotions and loyalty and commitment. You know, what does it mean? How do you translate that to Hashem? So what I'd like to do, after a brief one or two sources just to introduce the topic, is I'd like to focus on two basic questions, which to me, the whole sugya is really these two questions. What is the mitzvah? What exactly does the Torah, does Chazal have in mind when they say love Hashem? And then, how do you get there? Because obviously, even if we could understand what it is, I think we can all intuit that this is not your easiest mitzvah. You know, there's like, you know, shake a lulav, and then there's like love Hashem. Not exactly the same thing on any level, including level of difficulty. You know, like lahavdil, you know, I think like in like the Olympics, right? Certain like ice skating or gymnastics, right? It's not just how well the person did, but they measure that based on level of difficulty. So there's like a level of difficulty in Yiddishkeit as well, and this is up there. You know, it's like a 9.4 on the difficulty scale. So first of all, just to establish the basic terms and parameters, I mentioned it's not just a concept, but Ahavas Hashem is a mitzvah. And that's just to get us started in the first two sources. Of course, the first pasuk is the most well-known to us. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, u'bechol mi'odecha. What exactly is those three phrases? So later in the shir, we'll get back to what Chazal do with that pasuk. But here we are being told, you know, in a very comprehensive way, minimally we understand that right away from the pasuk, even without the Torah Shebaal Peh explication, that there is a very comprehensive, apparently even three parts at least, devotion to Hashem that is included in the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. Now I say mitzvah because, as the Rambam says in source number two, Hakel hanechbad v'hanorah hazeh, mitzvah lohavo. Right? The Rambam makes it clear, as do other Rishonim. I just gave you the Rambam here because he's very, very straightforward. This is not just an idea. This is not just a lofty aspiration. This is not just theology, hashkafa, whatever you want to call it. It's actually a halacha. It's a mitzvah. Mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. Now, of course, he says Yiras Hashem also, but that's not going to be our topic. That'll be a different week. We'll study the topic of Yiras Hashem. And the source of the pasuk is V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Okay, so we now know it's a concept, it is a theology, it is a religious aspiration, but much like, you know, benching and shaking a lulav and tzniyas and talmud, it's a lot of all these, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, which, you know, kind of increases, I would say, the urgency for us to try to understand, well, if it's a mitzvah, right, as you know, right, mitzvah should not be translated as good deed, right? Mitzvah means tzivui, mitzuveh. So if we're commanded to love Hashem, it kind of raises the urgency on us wanting to understand what exactly is being commanded of us. And what I like to suggest, having spent a lot of time going through the various sources on this, it could be that I missed something, I'm not sure, but I detected in my learning of the sugya six different approaches. And what I'd like to suggest, I think, unless it could be that I'll be wrong on part of this. But at least my working thesis is that this is not a machlokes. It's not there's six different approaches to what is the mitzvah, as much as that in fact this mitzvah is so huge and so powerful that in fact it encompasses six different dimensions. And different mefarshim or different sources or different midrashim or different gemaras highlight the different ones. But I'm working with the assumption, until someone proves me wrong, that this is not necessarily a machlokes, but love of God is, as we would intuit, a big deal, and you can't narrow that down to something very specific and limited, but in fact it encompasses the following. So let's, in no particular order, let's take a look at what they are. So number one, I think again, this is my own, you know, biased order. You could agree with everything I said and just rearrange it because you think there's a different order, and that would be fine. But I started with this one for the simple reason that when you think of love in a human context, what type of word is that? What would you describe that as, Ed?
Emotion.
It's an emotion. So the simplest way of understanding that, the simplest could also have obvious challenges and complications. But the simplest way of understanding love of Hashem would be to transfer that intuitive assumption. If it's love of another human being, so presumably it means love of Hashem. And in fact, there are numerous sources that indicate this. The most famous is the Rambam, probably in source number 3, but I thought that the Sefer HaChinuch, source number 4, was powerful as well, so I want to read both of them with you. Says the Rambam, towards the beginning of the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Ketzet hi ha'ava ha'ru'uya. What is the type of love that one is supposed to have to Hashem? Now notice, he kind of just assumes he's talking about an emotion. He doesn't like explicate this in a very pedantic kind of way. You know, Q&A, it's not very didactic. But he's just, everything about the discussion is a very powerful emotional presentation. Hu she'ahev has Hashem ahava gedola. You have to love Hashem with a great love. Yisera, Azam Ma'od, you know, cinnamon after cinnamon, you know, all these different synonymous terms of incredible, great, powerful, passionate love. Ajitei nafsho kushuro ba'avas Hashem, until you're completely connected, enthralled with, enraptured with Hashem because of that love. V'nimsebo shogebo tamid, you can't get him out of your mind, you think about him constantly. Now, if you were thinking about someone so much, loving them so much you can't get them out of your mind, what would you say about such a person? Ki'ilu chole choli ahava. You're lovesick. Right? There's like love and there's love. Right? This is like being super duper in passionate love. Choli ahava. She'ein da'ato penuya me'avas osa isha. Right? You're so in love you can't get it out of your mind. Right? Now the truth of the matter is, not to burst anyone's bubble, but when people have a long-term relationship, right? You don't go through life, you know, people have very happy 20, 30, 40 year marriages, right? Just take a stereotypical example. If I don't know if the father is the husband is a lawyer, right? He's not thinking about his wife 30 years after they were married every second, and therefore he can't concentrate on whatever work he has to do at the office. I don't think that's so typical, nor do I think there's any chisaron in that, right? Because as you mature in your relationship, so it's true that your spouse or the person you love is always on your mind, but the mature love can be even in the back of your mind. Right? It's always there in a subtle way. That, in a certain sense, is even more enduring and powerful. But it is true that certainly when a couple is initially dating, and obviously there could be other times in the relationship, hopefully as well, but when that there's a stage of passion when you're creating the relationship. And that's the Rambam specifically talking about a particular stage in that relationship. When a person is so in love with, you know, this person who hopefully will be their husband or wife, and they can't get that person out of their mind. You can't think about anything else. And then he quotes it towards the end. And in fact, this is what, of course, Shlomo HaMelech says in Shir HaShirim, and the whole Shir HaShirim is a mashal for this. Kicholas ahava ani, right? I am completely lovesick. I can't get you out of my mind. That is the Rambam's description. Let's just see the Sefer HaChinuch for a second. Source number 4. Again, he just takes this definition kind of for granted. Right? The ideal. Again, I like the fact that the Sefer HaChinuch let it be known that he knows that there's people like you and me. Okay, at least I'll speak for myself. We're not necessarily always on that level. So at least the Sefer HaChinuch acknowledges that maybe this is something we have to be striving for. It's ra'ui. This is at least what we should be striving for. Ra'ui lo la'adam shi'asim kol machshavto v'chol magamato. Right? Everything, all your thoughts, all your focuses, all your goals towards Hashem. V'yarich b'libo tamid. And here he gives a way of kind of concretizing it. You want to know, do I love Hashem enough? He says, this is what you have to appreciate. Yarich, you should appreciate in your heart. Ki kol mashu ba'olam. Everything that you care about in life. May osher, right? People care about their money, their bank account. Banim, they care about their children, their family. Kovid, who doesn't want kovid? Honor, right? All those things that people care about. Hakol ke'ein ukha efes v'tohu k'neged avaso yibarachu. All of that on one side is like nothing compared to how much you love Hashem, right? In other words, the Sefer HaChinuch is saying that people love their family. Okay, that's actually a healthy thing. People love money, perhaps less healthy. People love kovid, for sure less healthy, but it's a fact. Says the Rambam, all of that, it shouldn't be, again, now he's, I mean, the Sefer HaChinuch, again, I'm not saying he thinks that everyone's always on that level, but he's giving us at least a target to aim for. So my only purpose now, since I am going to try to get a lot of material in, is not to like completely, you know, we could probably spend a while discussing this, analyzing this, and probably you could figure out ways to kind of pick it apart and what ways is it's not exactly the same as a romantic relationship, and what are the kinds of love that you have for a child, for a parent, for a spouse. I'm not saying there's not virtue in any of that kind of analysis. It's just that I don't want to spend the time on it, to be honest. But number one, what you see, my first point is that according to the Rambam and the Chinuch in these presentations, respectively, what are they taking for granted? That what is the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? Kishmo Keinu. It's a passion. It's an emotion. And the same time, again, it's not going to express its way, right? The same way you would say, hopefully, the way you show your child that you love them is not going to be the same way you show your wife that you love them, right? That would be really unhealthy if you did, right? So too, the way you show Hashem may be different. We'll have to get to expressions of that. Maybe other Mefarshim are going to focus on that. But at its core, there's an emotion. And the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam here don't skip that stage, to put it mildly. They're very much focused on the passionate and strong emotion. Yeah.
Why would it not be okay to have said that the love is also the rest of the relationship, not just like loving Hashem, but like in a passive sense, we're not thinking about it all the time.
Again, I added all that critique just because I'm thinking about, like, I guess not only my own marriage, not to get TMI here on you, but any other marriage that I'm familiar with. My parents, Klein Harder, almost 50 years, very, very happily married. What am I saying? Almost 50 years. Whoops. Yeah, anyway, we already passed that. Baruch Hashem. So, again, I think maybe this is just one of the differences. In other words, it's not realistic. Again, this is now I'm editorializing. This is like more of like a VOD topic, like on dating and marriage with Rabbi Gottlieb. I don't think it's really realistic or necessarily healthy to assume that a human relationship is like the courtship for 30 or 40 years. It could be that the Rambam at least is saying that ideally, that should be, at least that's how he describes it, which is, the Rambam's right. Again, I don't think you look at those psukim, you look at Shir Shirim, there's a source for that. Yeah.
If you're saying it's a mitzvah, then how are they able to be these unreasonable standards? Like you're saying, these are unreasonable standards.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's unreasonable. In other words, I think it's hard. But a lot of when we'll get to Mitzvah Hashem at some point, we'll probably have at least a shiur on Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Gisa Yom Valayla, right? So we're learning a lot of the day, probably more than most of us do learn each day, right? There's a constant. So again, it doesn't mean that if you don't do that, you're not Yotze yet. There's certainly partial credit, and as we shall see, and I don't think the Rambam will necessarily reject, or the Sefer HaChinuch will reject, there's also other ways to fulfill the mitzvah. But this is one of the ways that we should be striving for, okay? That's number one. Number two, this is something really fascinating. And again, I think as much as possible, I'm going to try to give analogies to human love because I think it's just easier for all of us to digest, right? If you love, let's work in the negative and then we'll get to the positive, right? Sometimes you have relationships with people and you need something from them. So sometimes if you're smart and or cynical and or manipulative, but I repeat myself, you may give people things. You may do things for them. You may compliment them. You're not necessarily lying, hopefully. But, you're emphasizing or focusing on something because you're hoping to get something out of them, right? But there are also people and also relationships in which you do things for them or you'll say things, right, in which you may get something from them. But that's actually not why you're doing it. You're doing it just because you love them. Just because you respect them, just because you appreciate them, right? You understand that it could be those types of interactions, right? It can be I don't think that's just romantic versus other types, right? You could have a best friend or somebody you really care about, right? You do things for him. Again, it's also going to be true that he's also going to do things for you, but that's not why you're doing it in the moment. You're doing it because he's my friend and I care about him. I want to help him, right? So say a number of sources point out a second dimension of Ahava, and that is when we do things for Hashem. Now, what are the things what is another word for what we do for Hashem? Mitzvos. So when we do mitzvos, what's our motivation? So we might be doing it to get rewarded or not to get punished, right? It's still a mitzvah. But what would be a higher level? What do we usually call that? Yeah. Lishma, right? To serve Hashem, lishma. So these sources here, sources 5, 6, and 7, all seem to interchange lishma and ahava. And I think it's actually a very profound insight. Why would you do a mitzvah lishma? If you love Hashem, then you're doing it for no ulterior motive. Right? If you have something less than a full love of Hashem, you still might do the mitzvahs. You may be fully observant. You're frum. You're shana bet, maybe even. No, shana gimel, flip out, who knows, you know? But if you don't love Hashem, you may have ulterior motives. There's a lot of other reasons to do things. It could be to get in good with God, to impress your parents, to impress your friends, right? A lot of reasons that people get stark, right? And learn, right? But those aren't the ideal reasons. The ideal reasons are lishma. But why would you do it lishma? So, for example, take a look at the Sifrei. Sifrei says, on the pasuk that we saw, V'afta es Hashem Elokecha, asei me'ahava. Do all these things that you're going to do for Hashem, do it out of love. And Rashi on the pasuk actually quotes that. Or the Gemara Nedarim, very explicit. And the Rambam is going to use this Gemara Nedarim in the next source. Tanya, the pasuk of Ava teaches us, Shelo yomar adam, ekra shikriuni chacham. You know why I'm learning? You know why I'm shtark in afternoon seder and I'm climbing up the ladder in morning seder and shir? So everyone will be impressed with me. They'll say, I'm a chacham, I'm doing well. Or, eshne shikriuni rebbe. Better than that, I want to become a rabbi and then they'll give me kavod. You know, not just they'll think I'm smart. Ashanein shiyeh zakein v'ashev b'yeshiva. Well, you know, people will take care of me. You know, in certain cultures, maybe as I get, cultures, you know, they disrespect elderly people. But if you're a zakein means zeshekana chachma. You know, you'll be revered even in your old age, right? These are all examples, and we can think of 20 others, of ulterior motives. Kamash Malan says the Gemara, no, that's not why you're supposed to learn. But the Pasuk says, la'ava, ela lomeid me'ava, v'sof ha'kavod lavo. Right? In life, if you accomplish, people will respect you. But that's not why you're supposed to do it. Learn, and I don't think there's any reason to limit this to learning, and do mitzvahs, lishma, because you love him. And the Rambam, again, very much, you know, embraces this idea in source number 7. And again, it's not a stira to what we saw in the previous Rambam. Because I said, you could have different types. Ahava encompasses many things. So here the Rambam says, ha'oved mi'ahava means what? Osek b'Torah, but not only Torah, as we said, and mitzvos. And you all these things, lo mipnei davar be'olam, not because you're going to get monetary or, you know, other kavod from people in this world, and not even because of a quote-unquote ruchniyistika reason, like yirashama, I'm scared Hashem's going to punish me, or liyirashatovar, Hashem's going to give me olam haba. Ella, and here I double underlined it because it's one of the Rambam's famous lines. El ha'osa emes, emneshu emes. And you're so convinced that this is the right thing to do, you're doing it for its own sake. You're serving Hashem for no ulterior motives other than you truly believe this is the right thing to do. En echanami, sofa tova, lavo biglala. Yes, maybe in this world people will respect you. In olam haba, you'll get rewarded. Yes, we're not denying that. But you're doing it because it's the right thing to do, period. V'zehu maila gedola ma'od. Yes, Rabbi Klein, again, this is a high level. He's acknowledging this is a high level. Everything about Ahava is a high level. This is not the mitzvah on any of the 6 different explanations we're going to give, just for starting the starter kit. This is one of the higher levels that we aspire to. It's Ahavas Hashem. So the Rambam says, a second one, as based on this Gemara Nedarim and the Sifrei, is this idea of doing it lishma, and adds the Rambam. Not everyone, lo kol chacham zochela, not even every Talmud chacham, not even every quote-unquote from person gets to this level. And what is this level? Apropos to Parshiyot HaShavua, himalas avram avinu, shekara kadosh baruch hu ohavo, vishelo avad ela me'ahava. Avram did all these things because he loved Hashem, so too, that is what we are trying to strive for. Okay, so the Rambam repeats it in a number of places, and at the end he actually paraphrases the Gemara Nedarim, don't do it to be rich, don't do it to da-da-da, you do it because you love him. So that's a second dimension of Avat Hashem, and again, I think if you just think about it very rationally from a human relationship, I think it really very much flows. Again, in all sorts of human relationships, I'm not even discussing like, if you're like an abusive or really manipulative person. It's just human nature, and life is, we do all sorts of things. We help people, right? It's transactional. Maybe that's a better way of putting it, right? Manipulative or cynical is if you're kind of tricking people. Like you make it seem like I like you, but really I'm just being nice to you because I know that, your grandparents have a really great apartment and I want you to invite me for Shabbos. Right? That's cynical, manipulative. I'm not talking about that, obviously. But life is transactional. In so much of our interactions, not only with contemporaries or with the plumber or with the electrician or with all sorts of people, right? We do things for them in the expectation that they will do things for us. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not love. That's not lishma. Lishma is non-transactional. We're not doing it for any other reason other than we just care about or love that person. So just like I think we recognize that distinction in human relationships, number two is that's also a phenomenon when it comes to Hashem. Yes, sir.
How would we fit that into something like giving tzedakah, biskos, or refuah?
So tzedakah, I think, is unique. Tzedakah is unique. I think tzedakah is the exception that proves the rule. Tzedakah, even in, forget the laws of avas Hashem, just in the laws of mitzvos, right? That's a halacha that's unique to tzedakah, that you're allowed to, quote unquote, test Hashem in tzedakah. The chunina bezos, it doesn't apply to any other mitzvah. Right, so maybe we have to have a shiur about tzedakah, which is it's a very, very important topic, but I don't think that's the exception that proves the rule. And again, even then, by the way, just because you're allowed to do it in tzedakah doesn't mean that's the highest level. Right? Okay, number three. Sources number 8 and number 9. Again, there are numerous sources in Chazal, but I just picked one of them, and that is the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Dalet. What's another way? Again, let's think in human relationships. And here, especially, let's imagine, I wouldn't say this is to the exclusion of other types of love, but I think this is easily understood when you talk about parental love. Now, no one in this room, as far as I know, other than me, is a parent, but hopefully you are close enough with your parents that you can sort of speculate what it will be like, hopefully, and Mirz Hashem, one day Hashem will bless you. You'll have the opportunity. What's one of the things that would really characterize in any normal, healthy, loving parental relationship with his or her children? And that is that they would do anything for their children. Now, the fact that your parents sometimes say no to you doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means that sometimes anything isn't good for you in their estimation. I'm not saying they're always right either. That's a separate... But the point is, what do I mean by your parents would do anything for you? If God forbid, right, that the house was on fire, right, does anyone have any doubt that their parent would run back in for them? Right, a parent would give up their life for you. That's what it means to be a parent. Right? A parent wouldn't even think twice. Because that's the love that a parent has for a child. Now, I'm not saying it's only parental love. I think, you know, a loving husband and wife would do that for each other perhaps too. But certainly I think with parental love, we understand that very well. That is to say, what's one dimension? Again, not to the exclusion of others, but what's another dimension of love? Mesiras nefesh. The willingness to sacrifice for that person. And again, it doesn't just have to be your physical life. It could even be, you know, monetary life, right? You have people who saved up and they have a pension and they have a retirement fund. And then it turns out, Rahman al-Islam, you know, maybe they have a child who's sick and the insurance isn't going to cover it. Are they not going to spend the money to save the child because they're worried about, you know, they're going to be able to retire to Florida when they're older? The answer is no, of course not. Because they have, if you love someone, you'll be willing to be moser nefesh. So that's what the Gemara says in source number 8, right? And this is going back to the pasuk we started with, right? One of the things is that we love Hashem, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol navsha, b'chol miyodecha. So this is the famous Mishnah that describes what those different phrases are. B'chol levavcha, again, not our topic at the moment, shnei yitzrecha, the different types of your personality, yitzer tov, yitzer hara, and then b'chol navshecha, very famously, where it's underlined, afiluhu notel es navshecha. To love Hashem means you even have to be willing to give up your life. Now we know that the halacha is, when do you have to give up your life? Very rarely. Very, very rarely. But the point is, if you should, unfortunately, lo aleinu, find yourself in one of these incredibly rare situations, so in that moment of truth, you might say, maybe I'm going to bow down to that idol. You know, I'm just going to do it. Or, you say, you know what, I love Hashem, and there are certain things that are so important to me that I'm willing to die for. They're worth dying for. That comes from a perspective of Ava. You love Hashem so much, you'd even be willing to die for him. And I want to add, just because it's such a powerful source, and I often quote this on Tisha B'Av, but I think it's a timeless source. Source number 9 comes from the Sefer Eish Kodesh. You guys familiar with the Sefer Eish Kodesh? That's the Piazetz Nerav. The Piazetz Nerav was one of the great Hasidic Rebbes in pre-World War II Poland. Piazetz was a small little shtetl near Warsaw. But he was a giant in Polish Hasidus, very, very big, and he's become particularly famous even since he died. His legend has even grown. He has a sefer called Chovas HaTalmidim, so maybe it was a Hasidic approach to education, which is very, very powerful. And Eish Kodesh was the last Rebbe in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he gave drushas for 3 years, you know, with the Nazis surrounding them. And eventually he himself died, Al Kiddush Hashem, when they liquidated the ghetto. But those last 3 years of the ghetto, he was giving drushas, and he would scribble down the notes of his drushas, other people did for him after Shabbos, and they hid them when the ghetto was liquidated in kind of like a milk can or something underneath the street. And he had a brother who had made aliyah. His brother was also a Hasidish Rebbe, but was known to be very Tzioni. In fact, his brother was known as Ha'admur HaChalutz, right? The Tzioni pioneer Rebbe. Anyway, and he lived in Tel Aviv at the time, and he buried them. Anyway, after the war, if you know anything about World War II, the Holocaust, the Nazis completely leveled Warsaw. I mean, there was literally the whole city was one big pile of rubble. So after, it took years and years to rebuild the city of Warsaw, Polish workers found underneath the rubble this milk can. It's a miracle they found it, and a miracle they didn't throw it out. Eventually they sent it to the brother in Tel Aviv, and that's the Sefer Eish Kodesh, which are 3 years worth of drushas he gave Mamish in the Warsaw Ghetto under the cloud of the Holocaust. And in one of the things he quotes from his father, it's the one line that I want for now. Again, I spent 2 minutes digressing to give you a commercial endorsement of the Sefer, because it's such a powerful Sefer. But for our purposes, we just want one line, which is something, it sounds almost crazy, but it's actually, I think, very compelling. He says this in the name of his father, Shehamoser Nafsho, source number 9, Hamoser Nafsho Ba'ad Yisrael, Gadol Hu Min Hamoser Nafsho Ba'ad Hashem Levad. A person who gives up his or her life for another Jew is actually on an even a higher level than a person who gives his life up for Hashem. Now, on the first glance, that sounds almost crazy. Like, how could that be? But he points out, I think, very, very powerful, right? Think about it like, at least for the United States, the Secret Service. I assume that there's something similar in other countries to guard the Prime Minister or sort of the King or the Queen or whatever the case may be, right? But for those of us who grew up in America, right, and of course, our bakias comes from like Hollywood and like books. We're all, very, very educated on these things on the inside, right? But what does it mean to be part of the Secret Service? You take a bullet. Who do you take a bullet for? Just the president? So that would be one level of dedication to the president. But what if you took a bullet, not for the president, took a bullet for the president's child? That's how much you love the president. I'm even willing to die not only to save him, I'm even willing to die to save his child. So says the Eish Kodesh, if you're willing to die even to save one of Hashem's children, you're willing to die to save a fellow Jew, that's a higher madrega of Avas Hashem. I'm willing to even die for Hashem's children. Fascinating. He says it basically, Kal v'chomer. He says, if I'm even willing to die, Kal v'chomer, it shows how much I love Hashem. But be that as it may, I'm adding that as like a take it or leave it cherry on top. But the main point, which is already a Gemara Brachos and other sources in Chazal, that a third dimension of Avas Hashem is, I love Hashem so much, I'm even willing to give up my life for him. Number 4, another very famous idea in numerous sources in Chazal and in the Rambam, and that is the following. Right, this here I'm going to give an example. Not only, although this could easily be in romantic love with your spouse, but even with friendship. Right, ever have a situation in which you might have either been witness to this, or you could have been on the giving or the receiving end of this, where you, let's say, go to camp. You've been going to the same camp for years, and now for the first time, a friend of yours from back home goes to camp with you. So you have your camp buddies who you've known for years, but you have this other guy who you're also best friends with from the local neighborhood. But your camp buddies don't know him yet. So I think it's totally normal and totally common. What would be the instinct of that person? You don't just, as a nice person, introduce the new guy to people. That anyone would do. But if you really, really love, and I mean in the sense of friendship, this great guy from back home, what's your instinct to do? Not just introduce him. You want to tell everyone, oh my gosh, you tell everyone, my friend is coming, oh man, he's sick at ball, and he's amazing, and you're going to love, my friend from home is coming, he's a great guy, he's so funny, or he's so this, right? When you love a person, it's natural to what? To want other people to love them, right? You want other people to love. If you hear someone talking bad about a person that you love, what's the instinct? To defend them. Right? So in a similar vein, just like we can understand that on a human level, from friendships, says the Sifrei, source number 10, what's another dimension of Avas Hashem? Ahavato al Habrios. Avram Avinu. You want to make Hashem beloved. You don't keep it to yourself. You want to make Hashem beloved to other people. Or perhaps even more famously, in source number 12, the Gemara Numa says, based on the Pasuk again of Yahavta, Shehei Shem Shemaim Misahev al Yadcha. Live your life in such a way that when people see you, they will also come to love Hashem. Now, this is, of course, the famous Gemara of Kiddush Hashem, right? All those times your teachers or your parents told you when you were a little kid and you're going to the baseball game or to the football game or to the amusement park or whatever, and they said, you're wearing a yarmulke, you know, the camp's gone, make a Kiddush Hashem. They're basically channeling this Gemara. That Kiddush Hashem means that when people will see you, they'll say, oh, Ashrei Aviv, right? Wow, what parents? Ashrei Rabo Shalimdo Torah. Ashrei Aloka, what? This is what a Jew, right? And unfortunately, we all know too often, right? The way people, not just teenagers or young kids, it could be sometimes unfortunately loud and obnoxious adults too, right? You go, whether you're in the airport, you're on a plane, unfortunately, right? Certain times, I hate to admit it, certain times I go on a plane, I'm like, oh, too many front people here, it's not going to be good, right? Because I have too many bad experiences, right? That's a Chil Hashem. Not by me, I'm just indicating the reality of the Chil Hashem, right? The goal of Avas Hashem is that when people should see from people on a plane, ah, this is going to be a wonderful flight. Because from people are so classy and so quiet and so polite and so menschlich, so heilig, right? So we have a way to go on that. But I don't want to digress to airplane etiquette and frumkeit. That would take me too far afield and I may violate other halachos. But anyway, that basic premise that if I care about Hashem, I want other people to care about Hashem. If I love Hashem, I want other people to love Hashem. And let's go back to source number 11. The Rambam kind of puts this all together for us. Far omru shamitzvah zeh koleles gamkein. Again, there's multiple themes. These are not, none of these are exclusion of any others. Shenidrash v'nikra ha'anashim kulum avaroso. If we love Hashem, it's not enough that we know the secret, right? I know that my best friend from home is a great guy. I want everybody to know how great he is. I want everyone to know how great Hashem is. And Zekish, and the Rambam himself tells us this mashal. I didn't come up with the mashal. The Rambam did. Kishit tahev adam tasim libcha alav utshaveu v'tekavegeish anashim levov oso. Exactly, in human relationships, when we love a person, when we have respect for a person, we have a best friend, we want other people to love and we want other people to respect that person. We want other people to know everything that we know. Avasol abrios. And again, who's our model? Avram Avinu. Because that's why Avraham found Hashem, loved Hashem, and he didn't keep it to himself. He shared it. Ratzalomar, Kamosha Avraham, Ba'avur, Shu'ohev Hashem. It's not just he happened to love Hashem, and he happened to be the best Kiruv Chabad professional ever. Says Rambam, no, there's a connection between those two. Ba'avur, because he loved Hashem, he felt the need, he had this passion, this unquenchable thirst to share that love with other people. Everyone else should know what he knew. So too, says the Rambam, and where it's underlined, Kein Ata, so to you, so to you, so to me, so to all of us. Ehovo, so love Hashem, Achetidrosh Anashem, love. Love Hashem so that you want to share that love and show that love to other people. That is number four. Number five. Again, could be with other relationships, but here I think a parental relationship is key, right? If you really have a great relationship with your parents, which I hope, halavah, you do, and you really, really love them, and here's the key point, you know that they really, really, really love you, and then they tell you you can't do something, right? Or they require you to do something, as the case may be, that you really don't want. So if you're like a normal kid, you'll complain. You know, and depending on what stage of life you're in or how angry you are, you might complain even disrespectfully. Okay, that's been known to happen. Epis. I might have done that once or twice in my life. But in your heart of hearts, in your heart of hearts, what do you know? Not that, you're a better son than I am. Not necessarily that they're right. You know, I don't know if every teenager, for example, knows that. You trust that they're doing this for a good, right? Right, because they think, right, there's a certain trust, right? If you truly love somebody, you trust that they have your best interest at heart. Now, no one's infallible, right, other than Hashem. And I could tell you, I love my children. Everything I've done is because I thought that was best for them, but I've made mistakes. I'm sure your parents, out of love, may have made mistakes, right? And I have bad news for you. You will also. Only Hashem is infallible. But if you have a truly loving relationship with your parents, you trust even when you don't understand. And again, that could also be true with your spouse. I'm just giving as one example the parental relationship, okay? So sure enough, I think this is how I would paraphrase approach number five. Says the Mishnah, Brachos Nundalit, source number 13, Chayev Adam Levarech Al Hara, Kshem Shemavarech Al HaTova. There's a very famous and very difficult Mishnah. And that is that not only do we say, Baruch HaTova HaMeitiv, we thank Hashem when good things happen to us, but when bad things happen to us, we say, Baruch Dayan HaMS. But it's not just that we say, Oy, Hashem, you're the fair judge, but the Mishnah tells us, Kishem, just like we trust Hashem when the good things happen to us, We have to trust Hashem when the bad things happen to us. And the Rambam elaborates on this mission in source number 14. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the Rambam inside. And again, I'm not here, again, how to deal with the difficulties of life, tzaddik v'ralo, maybe that deserves to be its own shir, or maybe multiple shirim, or a course, I don't know. Not 2 minutes in a shir about another topic. But for our purposes, that's why I'm kind of reformulating it to take a little bit of the sting off. But on some level, that trust in Hashem, somebody who really, really loves Hashem, it doesn't mean they're not in pain. If chas v'shalom, somebody dies, or they have a tragedy, or they have a setback in life, doesn't mean they're not in pain. Of course they could be in pain. But eino dome, someone who truly loves Hashem, who trusts that even though right now I don't get it, but I know that Hashem has my best interest at heart, called the Avid Rachmana, the Tav Avid, right? Everything is for the best. Gamzu L'tova. Eino dome, a person who has that relationship with Hashem, and a person who really isn't so sure. Or just like in a human relationship, right? If someone else did the thing that your parents did to you, like for example, sometimes, and this I can give a very strong example, unfortunately I had examples where I was unsure, I was kind of sure that I knew my administrators or my principals maybe didn't love me, or love anybody. But sometimes, again, when a teacher, you know, disciplines you, again, the same thing. Sometimes you know in your heart of hearts, I'm not happy, but this teacher loves his Talmidim, he loves teacher. This is a teacher who loves his students. He means the best. As other people who you really are not so sure about, you know, maybe it's a power, you know, trip, and maybe it's an ego, and maybe whatever. Right? You can't, ain't no dome. But to truly love somebody means you trust. Right? There's certain trust that comes with love, and that, I think, is the fifth dimension. Last but not least, source number six is a very well-known medrash in the Tanchuma in Parshas Noach. And here, again, I would say is another thing, which is, you know, when you have a reasonable relationship with somebody, a passing relationship, a business relationship, transactional relationship, you're willing to work and do things for that person when it's good for you. And then there's other times you may even like a person and you may even be willing to put a little extra effort for that person. You know, I have a roommate, yeah, he's not my best friend, but like, you know, his bags came late, so I'm willing to go to the parking lot and help him carry his bags, or I don't know, or my roommate's sick, so I'm going to go to the charoch and get him food, and whatever, you'll draw the line wherever you draw the line. But the closer you are to the person, right, keeping going up the ladder, the more you love a person, the more intense your, you know, commitment you have to that person, the harder you're willing to work, the more you're willing to do for that person. So in a similar way, says the Medrash, and the Medrash is talking solely about Torah, but I think it's a broader point, at least that's the way I'm interpreting it. The Medrash is talking about the following famous dilemma. On the one hand, we all know the Pesukim in Chumash, but what do the Jewish people say? Har Sinai? Naaseh v'nishma. We're ready to go. We volunteer. Sign us up. And yet there's a famous medrash that says Hashem had to coerce them, had to force them to accept the Torah, that he lifted the Torah up over his heads, over their heads, and he said, either accept the Torah now, or Shem te'kfur aschem, I'm going to drop this mountain on top of you, kaf alem har kegigis. So many mefarshim, starting with Chazal, ask the question, it's a stira. What do you need kaf alem har kegigis? What do you need to force the Jewish people to accept the Torah? If it says in Chumash, Staten Taira Befeirish. Naseh v'nishma. So different answers to that question. But the Medrash Tanchuma gives a very fascinating answer. He says, Ein Echanami, they said Naseh v'nishma on Tanakh. Torah Shebechsav. But Torah Shebaal Peh, they had to be forced. Kaf Aleim Hargigis. Now what's the difference between Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebaal Peh? So with no disrespect intended to any of the other people who may teach Tanakh in this wonderful institution, you tell me what's harder, morning Seder or, you know, learning Tanakh and afternoon Seder. I don't mean because you're tired in afternoon Seder. Right? You can't compare high-level learning of Torah Shebaal Peh with Torah Shebechsav from the perspective of level of difficulty. Moreover, not just intellectually, in terms of the demands that it makes on you. Right? Think of Shabbos and Torah Shebechsav. Some vague day of remembrance and rest. I think I can handle that. Open up Masechta Shabbos, and before you know it, there's 39 malachos, and I can't use my iPhone. Right? It's a much more demanding, and in the case of Shabbos, restrictive experience with Torah Shebaal Peh. So says the Medrash, Torah Shebechsav, the easy stuff, a little commitment, a little effort. Naaseh v'nishma, sign me up. But you want me to schwitz? You want me to work hard? You want me to limit myself from things I really want to do in life? That's Torah Shebaal Peh's demands that the people weren't ready for. So here, and the Medrash basically says, that comes only from a perspective of love And they weren't ready for that yet. That's the end of the Medrash. Says, that's why Hashem can demand everything from us. But he knew that we weren't ready for it yet. And therefore he had to force us to get there. So again, the larger point here, I don't want to discuss now Tanakh and Torah Shabbat Peh. That's obviously also not our topic. But the sixth point is, I think, that if you love Hashem, you're also willing to work harder and sacrifice for him. So let's quickly review, and then we'll get to our second part of our shiur. Right? We asked a very simple question. Vos mentus. What does it mean? What does it mean to say to love Hashem? It's like, you could say it, but the words seem to ring hollow. You know, we can't touch, we can't feel. What does it even mean? Not how do we get there, we're going to get to that in a second. But what does it even mean? What's the goal? Then I'll figure out how to get to the goal. What's the goal? And we suggested, basically based on Chazal and other Mefarshim, six different things which are included in the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, right? Number one was just the emotion, the passion, what we think of when we think of love. And I said specifically like falling in love, the Hollywood romantic kind of version. That's what the Rambam and Sefer Chinuch and others describe, Shir Hashirim, passionately in love with Hashem. Number two we said is, when you love somebody, you do things for them with no intention of getting something back. Maybe you will. But it's not why you do it, right? If a person really loves his wife, he doesn't buy her an anniversary present so that she'll get him a good present. Right? You buy the anniversary because you want to show your love to the person. Lishma. Number three was Mesiras Nefesh. If you love a person, you're willing to give up anything for that person. Money is the easy part. Time is the easy part. You even give up your life. What parent wouldn't give up his life for his children or her children? Right? Number four was Kiddush Hashem. The more you love a person, the more you want other people to love that person. Right? Again, I know, again, it could be a spouse, it could be a friend, right? You ever met a husband who boasts about his wife, or a wife boasts about her husband? Again, it could be obnoxious. I'm not talking about some people go too far, but it's coming, hopefully, from a good, you know, again, there are some people who are just narcissistic and need attention, but the healthy version of that is, because I love my spouse and I want everyone else to know how great they are. I love my child, right? When you, people boasting about their children, again, it could get very annoying, I'm aware. There's some people who can't stop ever telling you about how great their child is or how great their grandchild is. Okay, that's already not a healthy thing. But the basic thrust of it is, if you love a person, you want other people to love them. So that's number four, Kiddush Hashem. If you love Hashem, you want to make Shem Shemayim Nis'av al Aydechem, like Avraham Avinu. He loved Hashem and he wanted everyone else to know about how great Hashem was. Number five was, we said, trust. Even when you don't understand, even when bad things are happening, but when you love a person, you trust them. And number six, we said, was the willingness to work hard. Right? You're willing to sacrifice and give up things when you love a person. So now we get to the second and very critical question, which is, how do we do any of these? Right? How have I, we could accomplish one of these, let alone two, three, or four, or five, or six, even one, right? But how do we get there? Right? It's muvan me'elav. It's obvious, it's intuitive, it's understood that this is a very hard thing. Any of the six are very hard. So how do we get there? So here I want to share a few approaches to that as well. Also, again, none of this are chidushim. This is all from Rishonim and from Chazal. So, source number 16. Approach number one, very, very famous. Undoubtedly, you've all heard of this. Says the Rambam, Hechi haderech l'ahavaso. Now, again, people don't remember that the Rambam also says this is like the Yira, but not our topic. How do you get to loving Hashem? Says the Rambam, Yechos Yisori HaTorah. In other words, says the Rambam, an appreciation of God's creation. The study of science, going to the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls, seeing the incredible thing, the Great Barrier Reef. I don't want to, you know... And what's it called in South Africa, the falls? Victoria. Victoria Falls, right, which are the... My parents have been there also. They said it's even more beautiful than Niagara Falls. Huh? It's not Zimbabwe. Oh, where is it? Zimbabwe? Where is it? Zambia. Okay, fine. I tried to be inclusive. I tried to make you feel like you count. No. You do. Anyway, I would like to go there too, trust me. On one trip, we'll go to hit the Great Barrier Reef and Victoria Falls. Okay, anyway, so you see those things, says the Rambam. Niflos habore, marabu masecha. So again, a secular person just says, okay. I mean, people can appreciate beauty without being religious, obviously. But a religious person says, oh, look what a beautiful world Hashem created. And the more you appreciate the beauty of what Hashem's creation, says the Rambam, logically, psychologically, intuitively, you'll become to love Hashem. Right? The more you love the product, if you will, the more you love the producer of the product. The more you see it, and again, it doesn't just have to be in nature, right? If you, anyone who studies science and you understand how the human eye works, or the brain, I mean, each little part of the human being is so beyond brilliant and incredible, and there's so many different things that a person could use in the natural world, says Rambam, you could come to loving Hashem. Okay? That is approach number one. Okay? If you want to love Hashem, one of the ways is get in touch with nature, the natural world, science, it could be physics. Again, I'm not a math person, but I think there are people, you know, there are religious mathematicians who say that they see something divine even in the, you know, the great, you know, for, again, I'm not talking about like ninth grade algebra, obviously, but like the really, really complex, you know, mysteries of math. You know, you could solve the, you know, the mystery of the universe and these various equations, which I can't, I'm not even anywhere near that stuff, but you know, I can just appreciate hopefully the Niagara Falls or something like that. But still, any of these kind of things, again, and what, again, it's what you see all the time, you know, on social media, they're always posting these 1 minute videos, 2 minute videos of these incredible pictures in nature, and you know, just something you see a million of ants doing, cooperating together. I mean, it's just like unbelievable. Like Hashem's world is incredible, right? It brings in Avas Hashem, as the Rambam said. Number one. Number two, this people don't quote as much from the Rambam, but they should. This is perhaps most pertinent to you, especially this year. Says the Sifrei, source number 17, commenting on the pasuk, "V'hayu ha'dvaram ha'ela asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha." So the Medrash notes that pasuk, or that phrase of al levavecha, here in the context of studying Torah, the words of Torah should be al levavecha. What other pasuk seems to have a word of al levavecha, which we were familiar with? V'yahavta. So the Medrash makes the connection of the al vavecha, what do you see from this? Says the Medrash, lefisha ne'amar v'yahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, ein yodea ketzed ohavim es hamokom. This is it, the Rambam, the Sifrei, Chazal, ask our question. If this has always been bothering you, you don't have to feel bad. You weren't a heretic. You weren't less frum than the guy next to you because this bothered you. The Medrash asks the question. A normal person asks the question, how does a person, how does a human being love Hashem? What does that mean? Ketzad. How does it come to love Hashem? Tama Lomar, that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us. But that these words, these Devarim Ha'ela Torah, should be Alev Avecha. That is to say, says the Medrash, Tein HaDevarim Ha'ela Al Libcha. Seriously, passionately study Torah. Should we talk kach atamakir es mish amar v'haya olam umedabek bedirachav. If seeing the natural world is seeing God's, on some level, you're seeing His will, right? He wanted to create this beautiful world. So studying Torah is God's ethical or moral will. This is how He wants the world to be lived. These are the values of Hashem. And if by seeing the great products of Hashem, right? A person, you know, person who falls in love with a person, right? Naturally, memela, they should have great hakara satov, at least, if not love, for the parent of that person, right? You're the one who created that person. So if you see the beauty of the world, oh, it leads you to a beauty of Hashem. But says the Rambam, or excuse me, we didn't get the Rambam yet, we'll get the Rambam in a second. Says the Medrash in the Sifrei, if you see and you understand all the, the more you study Torah, that gives you a link, not into, so to speak, Hashem's children, if you were, the products, the toldos of Hashem, but Torah gives us an insight into what? Kaviyachol, the mind of Hashem. You understand them better, and you can't love a person without understanding them. And this is what the Rambam says in source number 18. Here the Rambam is talking about how do you love Hashem. The Rambam doesn't talk about nature here. He says, you want to love Hashem? Don't go out to Niagara Falls. Go to the Beis Medrash, open a Gemara, or a Mishnah, or a Tanakh, or a Ketzos HaChoshen, or a Rambam, or a Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Study Torah. Understand the beauty, the complexity, the sophistication, the brilliance of Hashem's system and understanding of the world, that will itself bring you to love Hashem. As the Sefer HaChinuch also says, source number 19, Im hisbonus b'torah, tityashev ahava b'lev behechrech. That's quite a confident statement of the Sefer HaChinuch. And I'm quite aware that there are plenty of people in this yeshiva and in every other yeshiva that say, what do you mean? Rabbi, what are you talking about? I am learning, I'm trying. But I don't all of a sudden love Hashem because I got through morning Seder a few times. So I would say the answer is, yeah, you have to have a little bit more patience. It doesn't necessarily happen automatically. Sefer HaChinuch didn't say it happens automatically. But he says it will happen necessarily. And again, I think, and some of you may have had, I've had this discussion a lot of times with people when I'm giving them bechinas, like in 12th grade, and some of you may remember, you know, why do you, when I often ask people on bechinas, why do you want to learn? Oh, I want to come to yeshiva so I can become better in learning. Well, why do you want to get better in learning? Well, because when I'm out of yeshiva and eventually when I'm a lawyer or a doctor, I want to be able to learn. Well, why do you want to do that? And like at some point, people get stuck. And sometimes, every now and then, people give me the answer I'm looking for. But usually, 12th graders don't. And some of you may remember if this conversation was with you, and I said, why is that all important? It's important because Torah is the best way to love Hashem. You cannot love Hashem, which is one of the ultimate mitzvos, as we know, and if you don't understand, right? We use the term euphemistically or liberally, way too liberally, all the time. I love this, I love that. You don't even know the person or the team or the movie star or whatever that you're saying you love. To love a person, to love a thing, means you need to know that person. So how can you love Hashem without knowing him? Well, how am I supposed to know Hashem? So one way is nature, yes, because you see the product, the things that Hashem created, right? Just like a parent has a child, right? Oh, he's got his chin, he's got his eyes. Oh yeah, your father's personality, I see it. Right, because you're a little bit, again, everyone's different, but everyone has some, right? You could see a little bit of a parent in the child. So Hashem's children, the mountains, the seas, the things he created, we can learn a little bit about Hashem that way. But when we learn Torah, it's even more direct, says the Sifrei, says the Rambam. It's even better than science, because the Torah is not giving us a indirect way through Hashem's creations. The Torah is, again, as much as any human being can, it's an invitation to go inside Kaviyachom, Hashem's mind. And this is what the Mizrahi, one of the Yoav Mizrahi, one of the Rishonim, one of the commentaries on the Chumash, says in source number 20, again, on this pasuk, V'hayu Dvarim Elu, Maho Ava? The answer was, V'hayu HaDvarim, that Torah will bring. Dimlokain, after all, and again, he says this in the negative, Heich Tipola Ava, B'davar Shalor Aval, Hisig Miolim. Again, you have Rishonim, as you had the Medrash, asking the question. It's a normal question to ask. Doesn't mean you're like a bad high school kid or yeshiva, a cynical or a bad yeshiva guy. Oh, I don't know how to love Hashem. I'm not from. Chas v'shalom. The Medrash asks the question. The Mizrahi says, how are you supposed to love Hashem if you never saw that person? You never saw Hashem. You can't feel him. And the answer is, it's hard. That's the answer. It's hard. And there are two ways. Either understanding his creations and retrospectively, so to speak, working backwards up that through him, or in a slightly more direct way, of learning Torah. And I saw here in source number 21, again, he doesn't quote either of these sources, but I put, to me, source number 21 is really combining or reframing both of these points. And that Tiferes Yisrael is one of the commentaries on the Mishnah. He was a student of the Maharal Miprag. And he makes the following point, which I think is really profound. Inyan Ha'ava 21, Mitaveh, what is love? He's talking about even human love. How do you express love? How do you fall in love? How do you show love? Aydi Hakara V'Hashva'a. What is hakara and hashva? Hakara is understanding. You have to get to understand the person. And the more you understand the person that you love, hashva is you identify with that person. Ratzalomer, aideshiha ohev makir esanehav. The more you get to know, right? This is dating. You get to know a person. You fall in love with them. Courtship, right? The more you get to know the person that you love, shiyevakesh lahashvot et atzmoe love. The more you consciously or even subconsciously identify with that person. And if that's true in a human relationship, said the Tiferes Yisrael, so too oves hamakom. That's what it means to love Hashem. Shiyakir drachav, number one, is we have to understand and recognize and get to know him. How do we do that? Through the two things, Torah and the natural world. And al yedei that, through that, then we will naturally want yivakesh lahashvot et atzmoe love, to identify with him. So again, he doesn't mention the word nature and science and Torah umada. And he doesn't mention steiging and learning Torah because that's an insight into the way Hashem thinks. But I think that must be implicit in what he's talking about. You need to understand the person. And when you understand the person, then you want to identify with the person. I will say again, I hope this is not going to ich you out and be TMI. But I've made this comment in other contexts. Again, I'm married now, Kanai Nahara, almost 28 years. First of all, it's more than half my life. But number two is, it's been for many years, it's not a recent thing, but for many years, I can't remember the first time I noticed this, I can't remember my life without my wife. What does that mean, I can't remember? I don't remember what it was like to be 18 years old or 17 years old or go to camp. Of course I do, I have to think about it. But my natural frame of reference at this point in my life is, I can't imagine life without her. And again, I have a good marriage, but I don't have a unique marriage. Lots of people have good marriages, hopefully. Right? And at some point, it's not just that there's this other person that I love, it's ishto kegufo, right? On some level, you become, you can't, and that's what he's talking about. Aida yakir, hakara comes hashva'a. Now again, It's not even easy to always have a good marriage. That's also an accomplishment. So to do that with a human being is one thing. To do it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wow. But again, if you want to know how to get there, not that it's easy, but these are the steps. Understanding Hashem's, you know, again, just like you, the more you get to know the creations, it'll help you appreciate the Creator. And Torah, the more you try to understand Hashem from the inside, the more you appreciate Him. And a third point, last but not least, is I think is least well known, but I think is also very, very powerful and a very good mussar, and maybe this will be a shir in its own right, frankly, but it's worth quoting it now. Source number 22 says the smag, Sefer Mitzvah's Gadol, we've quoted him, I think last week even we quoted him, another one of the Rishonim. What's an example of Ahavas Hashem, says the smag? How do you get there? Yachshov Belivo Hatovo Shasalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hakaras HaTov. Right? The more grateful you are, right, the more you, now, by the way, this is like, again, classic in human relationships, right? A lot of times you go to a therapist, people are having marriage problems, right? So, again, I'm not trying to be simplistic. A lot of marriages either can't be fixed or you need a lot more work than what I'm saying. But one of the easy strategies to help a marriage that might be just a little bit stressed is, yeah, but she always says this, this, and this. Okay, I'm not saying that's not annoying. I'm not saying that's not hard. But how about the next week, write down all the nice things she did for you, all the things you're grateful for. Just that little exercise of being aware of the good things is mosif ahava. It doesn't take away the bad things. And that's true in marital relationships. It could be just sustam in life. They've done studies, people who were depressed. Again, I'm not making light of it. Sometimes people who are depressed really need therapy. People sometimes need medication, for sure. But all things being equal, the numerous studies. And sometimes just journaling and keeping a gratitude journal can lift people out of some level of depression. Because Hakaras HaTov, whoa, I actually have a great life. I didn't realize, I'm always focused on the bad, but look at all the good things that I have. So says the smag, you want to, it's true, life is hard and it can be difficult and I really wanted that and I don't make as much money as I wanted and the guy down the street, his kids seem to be better behaved than my kids and whatever, there's so many reasons to think. But if you think about all the good things in your life, says the smag, you have a karsa tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the male that will also help you love him. So, let's just summarize. And amazingly, b'schus the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, we're going to end on time. It's a miracle! And that is, we saw six different things of what it means to love Hashem. And then we said practically, but how do I get to any of them? We saw three answers, two primary and then a third. The primary two were by kind of indirectly studying and appreciating Hashem's creations. It gives us an appreciation of the Creator, the science and the natural world. Number two was, perhaps even more importantly, understanding God's thought process, His moral will. If you understand a person's values and what's important to him or her, that gives you a much bigger sense into who that person is than just if you saw a picture of the person, right? The more you understand the person, what's important to them, what they care about, their opinions, right? That's studying Torah. It's giving us an insight, kavyachal, as much as we can, into the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as I mentioned from the Tiferes Yisrael, Hakara and Hashpa'a. The more we understand God, the more we want to identify with Him. It increases the love. And the number three, Basakar HaTov, appreciation and gratitude. Baslacha to us all. Have a good evening.